Well, hello and welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for this edition. The phone lines are open, and we welcome your calls now. For Bible questions or personal issues, that phone number, as always, 844-322-2742. And, of course, that number is good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. We invite you to call now and join this edition, because here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All week we've been talking about this really important question: what must we do to please God? And we've actually released a video today that answers that in more detail. But today I want to look at a passage out of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God. So they had received instruction from the Apostle Paul on how they should live and what they should do to please God. So this wasn't new information coming from the Apostle's pen. They had already heard it while he was there. And this life that pleases God is a life of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So before we knew Jesus, we relied on the things of this world. We followed the patterns of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. Those were the only things that were on our menu, and sin was in charge. Sin was moving us down those pathways. But in Christ, we've been severed from that relationship that we once had with sin. Sin is no longer in charge. Why? We're not under the law. We're under grace. We're led by the Spirit of God. And so this new life that we live is a life of faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And this life of faith is expressed in love one toward another. So that is the essence of the Christian life. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It simply takes courage to look to the Lord, to keep your eyes focused on him. Why? Because the world is trying to move us in a different direction. So Paul had laid all this out for the Thessalonians, and now he's just reminding them about this life. So he says, just as you are doing, so he gives them a little pat on the back, and he says that you should be doing more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. So what is pleasing to the Lord when we're carrying out the will of God for our lives? And what is that will? Well, right here, Paul is pretty specific, our sanctification. Now, here's the good news. We have, past tense, been sanctified. We once were lost, but we have been washed, we have been cleansed, we have been sanctified, set apart by the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit. So what have we been set apart from? We've been set apart from the ways of this world. We've been severed from that relationship we once had with sin and death. We're dead to sin, and now we're set apart to this new life that we've been given in Jesus, a life that is led by the Spirit of God, a life that is characterized by righteousness, characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. That's what this new life is all about. So when we are embracing that and living that out to the full, that's the life that is pleasing to God. Why? Because that is the life of faith. So what is the will of God? Our sanctification. Well, what does that mean? Well, in the context of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he says this, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So we know God. We've been given that knowledge, and it's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. We're in relationship with God the Father, and this relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son is the transformative power of this gospel. It happens through relationship. So we have been set apart. What was the culture of that day was a culture marked by sexual immorality. That was the culture in Corinth. That was the culture of the Roman Empire. You can go and visit numerous places of the Roman Empire, even some cities in Israel, and you can see what that culture was all about. You will see brothel houses. You will see baths, and all of this where sexual immorality was just rampant. That marked the culture. And so they were using their bodies to gratify the desires of the flesh. We have been set apart from that by the work of God's Spirit. So he's saying in your day-to-day life, exercise who you are in Christ. Peter put it this way, as the one who called you is holy, you are holy, so be holy in all that you do. So let your actions reflect the fact that you have been sanctified by God's Spirit, that your body has been set apart for God's use. So Paul tells us in Romans 12:1 that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice so that God can use these bodies for his purpose, for his glory, and we can experience the abundance of this new life that we have in Jesus. Yeah. So that's how this spells itself out in practical ways. So it's us realizing who we are in Christ and then simply living out who we are in Christ by faith in Jesus. Yeah. And that means we're going to be learning how to control these bodies of ours and to use them in holiness and honor as those who know the Lord.
Yes, indeed. Great thoughts, Bob. Thank you for sharing that as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway. And friends, thank you for being with us. We want you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742, whether in the U.S. or Canada. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. You know, everybody loves free stuff, right? Well, you'll find a rich resource for Christian learning absolutely free when you visit the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Just about any subject or question you might have has been addressed in video by Bob Christopher and other fine teachers. And Bob has just now posted the brand new video we've been telling you about. It's called, What Must I Do to Please God? What a question, huh? Especially if you're new to Basic Gospel and you've been thinking about such things. All of us do. I think just about 100% of us, including those of you who are new listeners, have pondered the question, how will I ever get to heaven knowing myself like I do? Well, we have good news for you. In this new video, Bob Christopher lays it out pure and simple. If you've been troubled by those thoughts, I think the answer will be a delight to your heart. You'll find this new message, What Must I Do to Please God, and all the other insightful videos when you visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. And remember, it's all free for you. Again, that's basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, once again, the phone number, friends, 844-322-2742. Come on in. Be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. And we had this call that came in off hours, Bob. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Darren from Alabama. I have a question about how are we supposed to look at indwelling sin? How is it personified in us? It seems to speak in first-person terms, but yet it's not our identity. And I know Romans 7 is a part of that, but can you provide some explanation of what indwelling sin is and how we can differentiate it from our identity? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, yeah. Darren, and I think you're exactly right. Sin kind of speaks to us in first person as if that's us saying those things. And that's just not true. I mean, that's how the enemy works against us. And I think one of the ways that we can recognize and distinguish the voice there is to really take a listen as to what's being said. Now, our enemy is the accuser, the great accuser. So he's going to speak to us in terms of accusation. So you may have submitted yourself to the desire of the flesh and you're feeling guilty because you did that. And you may have this thought that says, how can you call yourself a Christian? Well, that's a thought that has that accusatory note just baked into it. So it is a thought of accusation. Well, that's not from God. That's not from the Holy Spirit. That's not from Jesus. That's going to be from the accuser. And he's, if you entertain that thought, then it's going to take you down a path where you start to entertain more of his lies. So the sin is going to speak to us in a voice of accusation. There is going to be a sprinkling of truth, but it's a lie sprinkled with a little bit of truth, or at least what sounds like truth in it. But at the very core, it's a lie, and it's given to deceive. So that's what is happening there. Accusation, lie, deception. And once you buy into the deception, then you are bound by that. And you are submitting yourself to a yoke of slavery. So how do we break free? Well, we recognize truth. And the truth is that we're dead to sin and alive to God. The truth is that if God has justified us, and if he does not accuse us, who is there to accuse us? I mean, he's the only one that matters, right? So there's no condemnation in Christ. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we have to recognize that he's not accusing us, and he's going to, through by his Spirit, continue to bear witness with our human spirit that indeed we are children of God. So we listen to that voice, and we park ourselves right there. And when we do, then the enemy has nothing that he can do to move us away from that. So again, let's review. When sin speaks, he's going to accuse, he's going to lie to you, and he's going to deceive you. So that's how it happens. That's not who you are. That's not who God is. That's not the voice of God. He doesn't accuse you. There's no condemnation. So rest confidently right there.
Absolutely. Well, Darren, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. Again, the number, friends, the lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we cordially invite you to pick up one of those lines right now, 844-322-2742. And Bob from Idaho, a question from Shane. He says, my girlfriend is Seventh-day Adventist, and I am non-denominational. We constantly bump heads when it comes to the topic of Sabbath, food, and so forth. We have been dating for about 2 years now, and it's difficult to bring up anything without her getting defensive or being too aggressive. I don't want to push her away. I love her very much and don't want to jeopardize our relationship. Not only that, but her dad is heavily involved in the church and at times fills in as pastor. What am I to do aside from praying? Should we move on or just stick together and place it all in God's hands, his trusting power to mold us into a family unit? That's from Shane in Idaho.
Well, Shane, there's a big, huge red flag just waving, and if it was here in Texas, it would just be flapping in a 55-mile-an-hour gust today.
It would today, yeah.
But you have to heed that. I mean, that is a warning flag. And what it is this statement that you said, I don't want to jeopardize the relationship. So you're walking on eggshells. There's fear,
yes,
involved in this, and you are trying to preserve something instead of just coming out and talking about an issue. And here's the issue: y'all have different belief systems, totally different belief systems. I mean, if she's Seventh-day Adventist, the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy, is going to be the center of her very life, the center of her religious experience. Well, you know, if you're in Christ and know about the grace of God, that we are no longer under the law, and that fourth commandment was simply a shadow of the reality that we experience in Christ. And that today, through faith in Jesus, we've entered into that Sabbath rest because we're resting in the finished work of Jesus. So you need to sit down and talk about that for what it is. And if y'all can't get on the same page now, a marriage license and coming together and doing vows in front of family and friends and in front of a minister isn't going to bring you on that same page either. So this is something that you need to hammer out now, that you need to talk through. And if there's no reconciliation on that as far as those beliefs are concerned, then, like I said, that's a red flag that you need to heed, and maybe it is time to move on. But don't take another step with fear moving you to take that step. That's never going to be good. It's never going to work out in the way that you hope that it will. So that has come up. It's right there in front of you. Don't walk on spiritual eggshells. Just go ahead and sit down and have a conversation. Just say, hey, let's don't get defensive. Let's just ask some questions and find out where both of us are and see if this is something that we can work through or if it's something that is going to cause an impasse and forces us to say, hey, let's just move on.
Yeah. Great advice, Bob. Thank you for that. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. And again, 844-322-2742. It's open for you right now. Friends, for everything you do to support the message of grace and life in Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel, we say a heartfelt thank you. And with your gift today, we want to demonstrate our thanks back to you by sending you for a few days more a copy of Andrew Farley's book, God Without Religion. It's insightful and witty, and you're sure to enjoy and be blessed by its message. Donors are needed, appreciated, and can be made, or donations can, at basicgospel.net. And as you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of Andrew's book, God Without Religion. Again, basicgospel.net. We would love to have your support today.
Yes, indeed. And just a word of encouragement as far as between now and the end of the year, our need as far as cash is about 200,000, a little over 200,000. Uh-huh. So that's not a big huge number. Right. It sounds big, but with the number of listeners, with the number of people that are a part of Basic Gospel Nation, if everybody just does a little bit of something, and maybe you do it two or three times between now and the end of the year, we're going to be able to finish this year on a very, very strong note and position this ministry that's merging with the Grace Message in just a very, very powerful and strong place so that we can see real expansion and growth sure. take place in 2022. So yeah. We need your help right now. We need you to be as generous as possible. Just ask the Lord how you can be a part of Basic Gospel Nation right now, what you can do to keep this message going forth. I tell you, I've been to some events of late and been, hearing different things in different places, and you just don't hear a focus on the simplicity of the gospel, no. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the message that contains the power of God unto salvation. So let's join forces. Let's really come together and get this message out there to as many people as we possibly can. So your help right now is critical. It's vitally important. Go to basicgospel.net and give your most generous gift so this good news can keep going out through the Basic Gospel airwaves.
Once again, basicgospel.net, and as Bob said, we would love for you to partner with us. Well, Bob, we had this question from Samuel. He says, I have a question on 1 John 4:15, specifically the NIV translation, which states, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, God lives in them and they in God. Most other English translations use the word confess rather than acknowledges. Maybe both words share the same root. I don't know for sure, but I have to believe that the word anyone is the verse. That's strictly referring to humans, because demons, at one occasion, Matthew 8:29, show some acknowledgement or confession that Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm sure he says that God does not live in them, for light has no covenant with darkness. Please share your thoughts around the subject, and thank you for spreading your joy always.
Yes, so God sent Jesus into this world to save humans. Angels, those that fell with Satan, their doom is set. They're going to be eternally cast into the lake of fire. And we see that spelled out for us in Revelation and several other passages in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude. So salvation doesn't come to angels. As a matter of fact, those who are still serving God and carrying out what he wants them to do to serve us, those who are going to inherit salvation, they long to experience what we experience, and that is the grace of God. So they're going to look upon us as trophies of grace, right. And they're going to say, wow, look at those humans that got to experience the full measure of God's character, got to experience the full measure of his grace and love and forgiveness. And we were servants in that, but that's all we were. We weren't sons. We don't get to experience it like they do. So when he says confess or acknowledge, and you know, those are just two renderings in the English. The Greek word is the same. And so it's just translators use different ways to communicate what the Greek is trying to communicate. So if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is God, that Jesus came in the flesh, we're saved. Well, when we're saved, what does that mean? Well, we've been translated out of darkness. We've been placed into light. We've been translated out of this realm of Satan's, and now we're in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So we're in Christ, and then God comes to live in us through the Spirit. So we see here it's God the Father that lives in us, and in Colossians 1:27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Jesus Christ lives in us. Then we see in Galatians 4 and Romans 8 that God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So we have the fullness of the Godhead living in us. So we're abiding, we're living in him, and he is living in us. That's what it means to be a Christian. And that is good news. And how did that happen? Well, we've confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We've believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And when we called upon him, we were saved. So that's what that is referring to. Certainly not the angelic world, just to those who were created in his image, to those who have been recreated by grace through faith in Jesus.
Indeed. Well, Bob, thanks for that. And friends, the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional arrives every morning in your email inbox with an encouraging message from Bob Christopher to start your day. If you haven't subscribed yet, you can do that by going to basicgospel.net. Scroll to the very bottom of the homepage. That's basicgospel.net, and there you'll find the sign-up form for the Daily Devotional. I hope you'll do that today, and you'll be terrifically blessed by receiving it every morning in your email inbox. Well, another edition of Basic Gospel has come and now is almost gone, but as we close today, keep in mind that we need your support to keep this message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please make your most generous gift at basicgospel.net, and as you do, be sure to request your copy of Andrew's excellent book, God Without Religion. It is a wonderful book. We hope you'll get a copy of it as you make your donation. Don't forget to request yours. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting Basic Gospel. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that before tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue or you may be facing, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. At that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll give you a response on the Basic Gospel program in a day or so. Again, that number is 844-322-2742, and be assured that we will address your question on the program. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.